And gentlemen, welcome to another episode of a podcast named Tim. We are a father and son movie review podcast available everywhere podcasts are. Each week we have discuss three different movies. This week it is Killer Sofa, The Golem, or Gollum, and Psycho, of course, the original Psycho from 1960. We're also available on YouTube. Not only do we have audio versions of the podcast there, but Power Ranger reviews. We're going to do some stuff for The Mandalorian, which some things are already up, and then additional items are going to be coming to the YouTube channel. So go to YouTube and search a podcast named Tib and hit that subscribe button. I am Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir, on this wonderful day? I know I skipped most. Look, I'll buy you some time as I see you look over there. It's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, podcast named Tim, and of course, podcastnamedtim.com. Dad, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, even though it's rainy and nasty and just one of them kind of days.
No, I understand.
It's fall day, though. At least it's cool today.
Yes, step in the right direction.
Feels good.
It's,
yeah, I'm good.
It's officially fall because I had some pecan pie yesterday.
Oh, jealous.
Yes.
Where did you get pecan pie at?
I just went to, Harris Teeter and got the, frozen whatever.
Oh, that's not pecan pie.
It was good. Well, you better get ready because that's what I'm bringing to the party on Saturday. I'm bringing another one.
I thought you were supposed to be bringing food. I thought we already had desserts.
I don't know. Well, if it ain't that, I'm bringing sausage balls.
Well, that'd be good. Yeah. Gotta make them Halloweenish, though.
Yeah.
You gotta look Halloweenish. Yeah, I don't know. I know your grandma's bringing some stuff, and Amy's making stuff, of course. But I'm bringing myself.
I understand. Well, yeah, we got a big Halloween party coming up. Maybe we'll take some wonderful pictures of what we look like in our Halloween costumes for the social media.
It is the event of the season.
Absolutely. I think it literally is the event, like the only thing going on.
Trick or treating.
That's right. Well, what did you watch other than these lovely movies this week?
I watched what we're going to be watching for next show. And, of course, the presidential debate keeps messing up my Masked Singer, so I couldn't watch that. What did I watch? Oh, I watched the new Supermarket Sweeps.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
It was Leslie Jones needs to turn it down just a notch. She it sounds like she's having a good old time with her friends. But yeah, it was they threw in a couple new twists. The end game's got a new twist to it, but I used to sit and watch that every day with my best friend Scott and his grandmother, who we called Meemaw, who helped raise me. It was nostalgic. That's all it was. I had a good time watching it. Apparently, Amy had watched it too at different times. And so we had a good time watching it. Jeez, what else did I watch? I know I watched some other stuff, but I finished season one of Beast Morphers. So,
how are you ahead of me? And I'm the one reviewing
it. I binge.
I'm the one reviewing it. You ahead of me.
Here when we get done with this, like, I got a Cowboy game and then I'll be watching, I guess, but I can't really think of anything else.
Okay, well, I watched half of a documentary. I didn't find it very interesting, which is unfortunate. It's called, and you're gonna roll your eyes, I guess, but it's called Space Lions. It's a doc. You wouldn't have. It's a it's a documentary that's on YouTube. That there's a YouTube channel called Shut Up and Sit Down. They do board game reviews, and they're one of the preeminent reviewers, and they sat down and did this documentary with the people who made Twilight Imperium, which is a big board game. Have I told you about Twilight Imperium?
Yes.
No, you have. I have. So it's like it's like a game that takes at minimum like 4 hours to play, apparently. And it's one of those games where you each have your own little empire and you kind of build it and you decide if you want to go to war and diplomacy. But the big thing is it's in space and there's like 14 different races you can choose from. So, like, just a big space opera experience. Right. And it's been one of the, you know, it's one of those high-end games, but they did a whole documentary with those. They've like, I think it was about how they made the fourth edition a few years ago, and they kind of went through the whole history, and it was kind of interesting, some of it, but I not enough to keep my attention.
It sounds riveting.
It was. I watched that.
I'm on Amazon right now ordering up my copy.
Yeah. Well, if you got $150, go right ahead.
I just canceled my copy.
So did that, and not much else. Actually, this morning I watched with the little one, Room on the Broom. It's a little 26-minute short on Amazon right now, narrated by Simon Pegg, and it's kind of got, I don't want to say Wallace and Gromit look, but a little bit like that. It's a, you know, story about a witch, and it was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have so far dodged, and I've done it all month. No one's mentioned it, and I have made sure I have stayed away from the thumbnail on the television. I have not had to watch that dumbass square pumpkin shit again.
Oh, Spookly?
Spookly the Square Pumpkin. I had to watch like 20 times last year. And that is the dumbest, most annoying video I have ever seen. And yeah, so I was afraid that was going to start creeping up, but luckily I have avoided it.
We had a viewing last week, so I've only watched it once.
Better you than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the flavor of Halloween last season. Your daughter kept picking the square pumpkin. So somewhere we were at, or maybe it was here. We've got a square pumpkin. I think I've got a pumpkin around here, a jack-o'-lantern that's square. And she's like, oh, the square pumpkin. I was like, oh, nobody say anything.
So. Oh, nice. Well, yeah, that's pretty much been it. Just more YouTube stuff and learning and educating myself, and as you are as well. Just got a new phone. That's always a fun experience. Sitting there, doing all the stuff. Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm still playing with my iPad Pro that I got last week, and it's just, I keep finding more and more stuff that it can do and does, and it's like, ooh, and I have to get back to remember I'm supposed to be doing other things.
I understand. Well, I think we have jibber jabbered long enough. Let's get into this, homie.
I'm in it.
All right. Well, we're going to start with Killer Sofa. Before we do that, let's take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. Killer Sofa came out in 2019, has a 1 hour and 21 minute runtime. And yes, you did hear me correctly. It is called Killer Sofa. It is a 3.5 on IMDb. I could not find a Rotten Tomatoes page. Written and directed by Bernie Rao. And it tells the story of a killer reclining chair that is enchanted with some kind of evil spirit. We can get into some of the nuanced stories of this. This was your selection for the week. So I'll go ahead and say my thoughts. It left me wanting. I definitely laughed out loud a few times. There were a couple times I busted out laughing, but overall, it did not draw me in as much as I was hoping. Obviously, when you have a movie called Killer Sofa that has a great movie poster, by the way. Great title, great movie poster, great concept. It's going to draw comparisons to Deathbed, the bed that eats people. And I would rather watch Deathbed than Killer Sofa. Killer Sofa is a much better executed film, but Deathbed is so bad that I'd rather experience that. I think Killer Sofa almost falls into that more average category, and I think that hurts it. We'll get into the more nuances of the story, but what did you think of Killer Sofa?
What kind of went with your standard on this? If you tell me I'm going to get a killer sofa, I want a killer sofa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what I got was a silly looking creepy armchair recliner that peeked out the window at people. But like you made me laugh is when they looked up and saw the sofa, I mean the recliner staring out the window, staring at people. That was quite amusing. But it was, it wasn't a sofa.
That's true.
So maybe I was already thrown off.
Is that like a, because this was, I think you like a British film or Australian film or something like that. Is that like New jargon? Zealand. Yeah. Is that a New Zealand jargon that is called a sofa?
You know what? I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I picked it because of something you just said. I love the movie poster. I saw the thumbnail of the movie poster on the, whatever that app, Vudu. And I was like, oh, I got to check that out. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, because all of our electrical devices listen to us, the next week it was on sale on Vudu. So I was like, all right, see, that's an omen. So I bought it. And yeah, it didn't have the kills that I wanted.
Yeah.
It didn't have the, it's not that I don't know. I wanted that, if it was going to be a recliner and not a sofa, I wanted that recliner that was in the picture.
Yeah. Yeah. You wanted it more vicious.
I wanted some teeth and some, yeah. I wanted it exactly. I wanted it vicious and not just
a sofa.
It's coming at me every now and then. And then all of a sudden something happens off screen and I didn't see it. I want it actually, which I'm sure is because of budget and, being a small film. But I didn't hate it. It was fun for an hour and 20 minutes. If it had gone 1 second longer than an hour and 20 minutes, I probably would have been a little irritated. But yeah, it was all right.
Well, I mean, to compare it to Deathbed, because it's going to have to be. I mean, Deathbed's interesting because the deaths are the exact same in the film. Because they just sit on the bed and you kind of sink into it. And they have this weird acid effect and it looks cheesy. Right. But with this, they tried to do a little bit more, but I didn't think they went far enough because it was just like, I'm going to stab you with a spring or I'm going to push you out of, like, I wanted it to like open up and eat people or just get some crazy stuff going on. And I would have liked a more Thanksgiving vibe in some respects where it had a personality because the sofa didn't do much from a personality standpoint. I would have liked a little bit more from that. What did you think of the weird backstory? We got the, what was it like in the 1500s, there was a woman and a man and they had to kill each other. And then this became possessed and this, you're her descendant. And just,
yeah, it didn't hold my interest enough to even remember it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was on it when it was playing. And then as soon as we got into the modern day moving, I totally forgot how the thing got. So I guess it was like a Chucky kind of thing. Something just kind of made the spirit move into the recliner for some reason. I don't know why, but it did.
It's weird. So because I would say after I finished watching the movie, it was largely forgot most of it.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't happen with a movie about a killer sofa.
Well, and it shouldn't happen with a movie that was only an hour and 20 minutes. I should be able to remember pretty much all of it. And I remember the only thing I can remember is it peeking out the window and the old man that was the whole side story where we were trying to get into the his history of being able to see things and hear things and all that crap, which was he was such a bad actor that it was
like the only other thing that we got that I can really really remember was there was a weird scene where, and I thought this was going to go to the sofa eating her, but we got where the main actress is like on the sofa and she's like getting all frisky and rubbing up on it and stuff, and I was waiting for the sofa to reveal itself at that point.
Oh, I thought he was going to do her.
Although I think he did do the recliner. The recliner went up as a signifying that he was rising to the occasion. So
I didn't even catch that.
Yes. Yes.
I did not catch that.
But yeah, it was it's very unfortunate. It left a lot to be desired. But it was executed fine as far as from like production and everything like that. I mean, there was no glaring issues with that. I mean, it wasn't like a Beaster Day, which I would say was like a lower level.
Right.
It felt like a well-made movie.
What was that movie we watched that, now I'm not going to, where we were laughing at it because they were actually holding the prop on them?
Oh, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I can see it.
Yeah, another inanimate object that was killing people.
Yeah.
That we needed a little more from. This was actually a little better shot than that one. It wasn't quite as student filmish, but it hit some kills a little better, and the blood meter and all that. But what was that?
I'm scrolling through right now to look. We watched it this year.
Yeah, and I could not remember, which is probably what's going to happen with this one. I'm going to forget all about it. But it was some object that was killing people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they were whole. We wanted it to be.
Because it was like they were teens. It was like in Michigan, and they like were at a house, like a house party thing, hanging out.
Yeah, kept going by the garage.
I know what it was. We didn't review it for the show. Viva! It was the Pinata movie, Killer Pinata.
That's it. Oh, we didn't review that one?
No, we both watched it and then decided that it wasn't worth adding to the show. Here's what's funny.
Maybe we should have taken that advice for this one.
Well, here's what's funny is kind of to get into the Timmy's thing. We're having our award show next week, and we're going to have nominations at the end of this episode. This year for season two, we watched one less movie than we did for last year.
How did we do that?
I don't know. Well, because bonus episodes and stuff. We did one less bonus episode. Yes, we watched 134 movies this year. Last year we watched 135.
No, we did more bonus episodes this year.
Well, maybe we just missed a week and just made up
with it. Sure felt like it.
Yes. So
this one, 3.5 is being pretty generous.
That's about right. No, that's about right. Yeah. If you have a 3, you at least, there's a kernel of an idea there.
Oh, yeah, there was an idea.
Yeah.
It just didn't get executed. So, but I would not recommend this to anyone.
No, I would say go watch Deathbed.
See, I can't go that far either because I think that's a crappy movie as well.
It's the worst movie you will ever watch. You have to watch Deathbed so that you can have a greater appreciation for all movies ever made.
I don't know if it's the worst. That Thanksgiving 3.
Oh, no. The Thanksgiving 3 is at least, like, coherent in some respects. There's at least...
Where?
Well, excuse me. There's at least an attempt to make a coherent story. I mean, Deathbed is only better than the story of the Chinese gods. That's about the only thing.
It is better than that.
Yeah, I mean, that is a wrap on season two of A Podcast Named Tim. We do have to make some nominations.
First, I want to announce my retirement.
Okay, go out on top.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Go out before you dig yourself further. We do have some nominations. Next week we're going to be doing Star Trek The Motion Picture as our first movie for season 3, and then we're going to be discussing all of the movies we watched for season 2, reminiscing, and our little award show. Do you want to go back? Do you want me to give my 3 and you give your 3, yada yada yada? How do you want to do that?
Why don't you just read them? Because I have no idea what I nominated.
Okay. I have the nominations here. And we will.
How does this work? I don't remember how this
works. So this is going to work. At most, 6 movies will be nominated for a category. We each are allowed to nominate 3. If we both nominated a movie, then that movie's just on it. That's fine. We're going to do rankings. You do one,
but not on air.
No, we'll do those off air, and we'll.
Okay.
And I'm gonna put some stuff out on social media so people can vote as well. And basically, if you think it's the number one movie that deserves to win that, you give it a one. And then the movie with the least numbers wins next week. I'll do all the math behind the scenes.
It doesn't sound like you need me anymore, so.
Well, we'll go ahead.
I'm going to dip and go eat some lunch.
I'm going to go ahead and give everyone's nominations. I'll start with you, and we'll start with the more movie category. And we'll discuss next week why we nominated them and whatever. If there's other movies from season two, you just want to get one extra little.
So no commentary right now.
No commentary. Just these are what the nominations are.
All right.
So for the more movie category, again, prequel, sequel, whatever. You want more from it. You nominated Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Better Watch Out, and King's Row. For the more movie,
are you sure those are mine?
Yeah, I'm sure those are yours. For the more movie category, I nominated Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Better Watch Out, and Message from Space. So only
four.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a. For the best movie poster category, you nominated Snakes on a Plane, Them, and Gone with the Wind. For the best movie poster category, I nominated Snakes on a Plane, Empire of the Sun, and Barbarella. For the worst movie category, you nominated Prisoners of the Sun, The Warriors, and One Down, Two to Go. And I nominated Purple Rain, Yellow Submarine, and Mulan. Mainly because no commentary. For the best movie category, this the caveat here is it had to be a new movie to you. You have never had yet. To,
forgot that's about
fine.
That.
That's fine. I will. You know, these were all new to you. The ones you nominated.
Okay.
You nominated Bicycle Thieves, The Flowers of War, and Them.
Oh yeah, those were all new.
I nominated The Lighthouse, Bicycle Thieves, and 12 Angry Men. So those will be the movies we'll be voting on. I'll put some stuff on social media so that everyone can vote. So it'll be a third your vote, a third my vote, and a third social media stuff. So next week we will discuss all of our wonderful movies and we'll talk about Star Trek the Motion Picture. That's about it.
That's it.
We got plenty of time to grab some food before the Cowboys lose.
YouTube.
Yes. We are.
Subscribe.
Yes, we are putting up Power Ranger reviews, Mandalorian review, episode reviews. When Star Wars The Bad Batch comes out, we'll be doing stuff for that. We're putting on audio stuff for the show. There might be some video game related stuff coming out here soon. Maybe some other things. We're working on doing a lot of different things over there. Some short videos, you know, you need a quick 5-minute thing to keep you entertained. And maybe
I'm tell people what's in my purse.
I'm going to power wash my house.
What's on my iPad.
I'm going to clean my fridge. Videotape it. This expiration date is 2 days old. Throw it away. It doesn't make me happy. It wouldn't surprise me. I sent you that power washing video, right?
It was the
best of 2018 compilation of power washing videos. And it had like 700,000 views or a million views or something like that.
I saw.
Yep.
All right.
So, well, that is a podcast named Tim. We are out. We'll be back next week for season 3. And maybe we'll have a new theme song. I'm going through the musical stylings of one Too High, who has made our first theme song. And I'm going through his library. If you want to check out some of his stuff, go to Bandcamp. He has a bunch of different music you can listen to on there and support him, of course. And if there's a song you'd like to hear as our theme song for maybe moving forward, let us know.
No more Super Mofo, or what is it called?
Super Mofo. Maybe I might change it up. We're going
That's
through.
Sorry, we need something a little snappier now that we're not, you know, we're moving on up.
Yeah, maybe we'll use that. We'll see you all next time on a podcast named Tim.
All right, that's all I got to say. About
that's
it,
all
Tom.
You got. Okay, we'll go ahead and hop to my film, which was The Golem. Came out in 2018. Has a I've just lost my spot. See what happens? You're clicking around on stuff, and then things get all messed up. Again, The Golem was my selection, 2018, 1 hour and 35 minute runtime, a 5.6 on IMDb. On the Rotten Tomato meter, it has a 86 on the tomato meter, a 42 from the audience. It is about a small Jewish town, kind of an enclave that is, there's a woman there who's basically dealing with the loss of her son and who died a few years ago. And she decides to, there's basically some outside invaders who are coming in because the plague is happening and they're blaming the Jewish community for it, says that they did some spells. And so she creates a golem to defeat them. And things don't always go as planned when you deal with spirits of the underworld. So what did you think of Golem, which I believe is it a film from Israel? It's definitely a film. You know, I don't know where it's from.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it's from. We'll call it Fiddler on the Roof meets the Witch.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was. I think people are going to think it's a little slow.
It is.
But it was slow on purpose. I think you kind of had to build on this one. But at the end, I was okay with it. I wasn't like, oh my God, that was too long. Or I was like, all right, we had a payoff. I kind of liked it. I'm not sure what you felt about it, but I liked it.
I was kind of bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted some more horror elements to it because it was in the horror section and I would have liked a little bit more creepiness from the golem and some more there.
Yeah. I wouldn't go all the way to horror. You're right. It wasn't really a horror movie.
But yeah, it was.
What were your expectations? It's like kind of like Heredity and The Witch. It was kind of in those veins where there's a little touch of evil, but it wasn't all the way to horror. If that makes any sense at all.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. I liked. It was interesting. I liked the period piece nature of it. We I don't think we'd watched a period piece here for our horror films in a while. So that was, I liked that concept of it, especially putting it during the Black Death, which led me to do a little bit of research. I didn't, there's the famous mask that plague doctors would wear. I did not know the reasoning behind that. Do you know why they wore that? I don't know if you've ever done any research into that at all, but
I actually have an expert here that knows why they wore that.
You have an expert. Are you phoning a friend?
Give me a little insight, just to me.
No,
so I can look smart on here. They wore it because the evil spirits were afraid of crows.
Close. No.
And yeah, I have no idea.
So
when they started yelling, the doctor was here. I got all giddy. I thought the TARDIS was coming.
So this kind of felt, in some, this kind of felt like it could have been like a Doctor Who episode, like a horror version of it. So the idea behind the mask was they thought there was something called bad air, basically. And that's what had the diseases. And
I'm
so they
being told off screen pretty much what you're telling me.
So they had to stuff a bunch of like spices and juniper berries and whatever, you put your spices in your mask and you breathed in the nice aromas and that kept the bad air out. So it was kind of interesting. I'd never known that. So
yeah, I've always seen that. And I actually, I was at the spirit store and back to the Doctor Who thing. And there was a sign I could see up above the other things. And it said, the doctor, the doctor will see you now or something. And I was like, oh, maybe they got a Doctor Who costume. And I went over there and it was those. It was the look of the pandemic doctors, whatever you call them.
What was also interesting was we're going to go down a small little rabbit hole here because I Wikipedia'd a bunch of stuff at, you know, very early in the morning after watching this and felt the need to share. Apparently they were actually hired by like a town. So the theory was we're going to hire you. You report to the town. And that way the theory was you will then give equal treatment to wealthy and poor people. Now these people might have still tried to line their pockets and still help people. But the idea was they actually tried to hire them to be the town doctor and work for the city. But apparently they were also, the other issue was, I think they said this is part of the issue why it spread so bad was all of these doctors, the plague doctors, were the second rate nobodies and up and comers who couldn't actually operate their own facility. And so they were going around trying to, I got the cure for this. And that's probably didn't help for the plague. So it was kind of interesting.
Snake oil salesman.
Yes. Literally.
Really cool looking mask.
Basically. And paid on taxpayer dime at the time.
What was with the anti-Semitism group and then what was with the villages? That was kind of a weird dynamic that I didn't know was ever a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I assume
that based on something or was it just?
I assume that they were just in another country and they just happened to have a Jewish enclave where they were. And I don't, it was interesting. I mean, they were doing some social distancing. They said, hey, we're here all by ourselves. That's why it ain't us. It was interesting. I didn't know a lot about like the Star of David and some of the elemental things that and who knows, maybe some of this movie magic and BS, but, I thought it was interesting. The lore behind the creation of the Golem. And here's my one of my big issues with this movie. Twice it tried to say you shouldn't do something and then proved itself wrong. And here's what early in the movie, they were trying to make a point that, you know, women shouldn't learn the text because they don't know what they were doing.
Right.
Well, the second the woman got the text, she made an evil demon monster. Probably shouldn't. And then the other time they were just like
Pandora in her box.
And the other thing was the outside villagers, they were, you're evil Jewish people and you're causing these spells. And then they made a spell to fight them. Right. It's like, stop proving everyone right. That was my one big issue with this movie. It's like, you keep saying these things are not actually happening. And then you keep proving them in your script.
Our engineer Alex is telling me this took place in 1673 Lithuania.
Yes, and it is an Israeli film. I did look that up, so I believe that's our first check the box. We've hit another country on the worldwide map.
I kind of thought it was well done. I don't think it's ever going to be a classic or anything, but
no. But could you recommend it to anyone, really?
Yeah, I would tell somebody to watch this. As long as they weren't looking for a splatter film or generally a jump scare film or anything like that. If they're looking for a nice slow burn with a little toe in historical plague stuff from way back and mystical, the doctor, the plague doctors, yeah, I would tell somebody to watch this.
Okay. I mean it was
there's a lot of caveats I just gave, which I'm not going to say. I would not say all that to somebody.
Right.
I don't think you're going to walk up to me and go, hey, do you know any movies from the Lithuanian plague that features Jewish people being treated poorly in them.
I have a movie.
Got the movie for them.
Yes. I think it's kind of passable. Very average. The concept's there. It was made well. I thought the acting was well done, especially the husband. I thought he did a really good job. Although, I don't know, again, if your woman wants to have sex with you more than usual, something's going on. This is the second week in a row where woman has extra crazy sex drive and is extra freaky, and that means there's bad shit going on. I'm sick of this.
I don't know. I don't see any abnormalities in any of this. So I guess I date freaky women.
Because early in the movie, they were doing missionary and she was sitting there not interested. And then later in the movie, after she conjured up the beast, she's like, let me get on top and ride it. Like, it was like,
yeah, that was funny that you say that, because I did think that when that scene came on, I was thinking, okay, this is the 1600s. The women weren't doing that. They laid there in the bed and let the man take care of things. They had nothing to do with none of that. So I did think that, but no, that's,
I was confused at one point. I thought, and maybe I just missed it, when she went to the witch doctor, whoever person early in the movie to get the liquid stuff to put on her area. I thought that was to try and encourage childbirth and she wasn't able to have children. I did not realize it was the opposite. She was trying to purposely not have children. So I thought that messed me up.
I thought it was Summer's Eve, so I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting. Did you watch it with Alex, by the way, since he is there with you?
No.
Okay. Okay. No. Did he watch any of the movies this week?
No.
Okay. Okay.
No.
Well,
he's stuck playing Bloodborne and Pikmin. So
that's quite a combination. I can't wait for the crossover. Well, let's go ahead and hop to our last movie, our main feature of the week, and the last movie for season two of a podcast named 2 Years in the Books. A lot of movies watched. Psycho from 1960, of course. R rating, 1 hour and 49-minute runtime, and 8.5 on IMDb, a 96 on the tomato meter, a 95 on the audience score. Of course, directed by one Alfred Hitchcock, stars Anthony Perkins, Vera Miles, John Gavin, Janet Leigh, et cetera, et cetera. I know there's other people, but there's, you know, yeah, IMDb. And of course, it tells the story of a woman, a secretary who embezzles a bunch of money, goes on the run, and has to stay at the Bates Motel, which ain't exactly where you want to be staying.
I've been there.
You've been there. And I think we've actually watched another movie where the Bates house was featured in.
Oh, it's tons of movies.
Yeah. I was actually going to suggest, we've been discussing potential episodes for the next season. We should do a movie. We should do an episode where the Bates house has to be in it.
I think the movie House took place in it, but maybe. Yeah, there's tons of movies. It's really weird where it sits now in Universal. It's actually back where it should be. It's on the hill above the Bates Motel, but it's it's pretty cool to be there.
Well, where do you want to start? Do I want to start? How you want to do this? I know you've seen this a bunch of times. This is only my second viewing of Psycho.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it. I still am mesmerized of the audience reaction when this was out. Why this terrorized people so bad? Because it's not scary. I wouldn't even like this movie if it wasn't for Anthony Perkins.
Oh, he's great.
I love Anthony Perkins in this. I think he makes this movie. I mean, Janet Leigh's annoying in it, and everyone else is just kind of window dressing. The house itself is a character.
Mm-hmm.
It's just perfect. Whoever designed that house or found that house to use is fantastic. other than that, I always forget when I watch this, I always forget that it actually starts out as kind of a, you know, about the embezzlement of the money. And her, I forget about that. Everybody always remembers the shower scene, of course, and some of the other, you know, the reveal scene of his mother and all that. But I forget that it actually starts out as kind of a Alfred Hitchcock type mystery before it goes off the rails. But it's, you know, it's a classic. Everybody should watch it.
Yes.
It's, but it's not scary under any circumstances. I don't know why people couldn't take a shower. Some people couldn't take a shower after this, and some people, fruit cellars were closed up, and I don't know. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I had forgotten a lot of the film. Like you said, most people just think, you know, shower scene and the review at the end. I mean, so Allison watched it with me, the wife, and she had never seen Psycho, and I did not realize that.
Really?
Yeah. But she knew the ending, and she knew the shower scene.
Of course. Because
it's, you know, everyone knows that. You mentioned Anthony Perkins made this film. This film to me is two big things: Anthony Perkins and the music. Because the music, the opening, like, music where it just builds that tension up, of course, the shower scene music, all of it, just, it's iconic music. It's excellent. I mean, obviously, Alfred Hitchcock thinks so. He doubled the salary of the man who made the music, who said, he basically said, this movie wouldn't work, and a third of this movie is just because the music's great. So here's a bunch of money.
He was the original Tarantino, as far as I'm concerned, when he picked music. His music in most of his movies, because you even nowadays when you hear, when they try to make a movie with a little mystery kind of thing, the music is very, it sounds like Hitchcock. You can kind of go, that sounds like a Hitchcock movie.
It's a really good, what I like about it is, like you said, it does start off kind of as a typical Alfred Hitchcock, just, I don't want to say chase thriller in some respects. And then it just, at the end, it kind of morphs into this weird, oh, there's some other things going on. I didn't like at the end, in some respects, how much they had to go into explaining. It was almost like, all right, we think the audience is dumb, so let's explain exactly what just happened. I had forgotten how, speaking of the shower scene, though, I've forgotten how shitty it actually looks. Because that scene is 1,000% made by the music, because the knife, it's like a flare punch. It ain't nowhere close. It doesn't look good. It looks like shit. The blood, that looks fine. I would have liked a little thicker, you know.
You mean the Hershey's chocolate syrup?
Yes. Yeah. I would have liked a little bit more there, but... you know, it showing.
Remember,
about to say, you're working with the Hayes Commission. I get what you got to do. I like that it's in black and white. I think it adds to the film 100%. But yeah, I just forgotten how bad that scene actually looks.
It was 1960.
Yeah.
So. My mom was like 17 when she saw it. So it freaked her out. Just remember just being freaked out. My dad was 20, but I think he was in the service by then. So I don't know if he saw it right then.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I watched it, but when I watched it, I wasn't very old. I watched it on regular television, I think, one time when it came on, because it just, you know, I'd always heard about it. And I didn't get it way back then. I don't understand why I wasn't scared by any of it. I actually kind of laughed a little bit when he was playing his mother. I thought that was pretty entertaining.
But, I mean, I would say it's – I don't know how many movies in 1960 talked about – I don't know. They called it transgender, but that probably isn't the correct term. It was dual personality. They just described it as transgender because that's the term.
Yeah, it was trying to be his mother. He wasn't trying to be a girl.
Yeah. But I don't know how many movies would have touched on this subject. And I would imagine, you know, White Picket Fence, I Like Baseball and beer and my Cracker Jack Box America at the time, there probably would have been some societal fears of this.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, it was, did you see that, Sir Alfred Hitchcock, pulled a George Lucas on this and made some money?
No.
Alfred Hitchcock deferred his standard $250,000 salary and said, I will take 60% of the movie's gross instead.
Oh.
And they said, that's fine. We don't think it's going to do that well. Well, he earned, and this is from IMDb. It's on the facts right here. It says his personal earnings in 1960 dollars were $15 million. Adjusted for inflation, Mr. Alfred Hitchcock, for 2016 dollars, again, according to the IMDb trivia, made $120 million on this movie. So,
well, he didn't make a friend. Walt Disney didn't care for this movie.
Yes, refused to allow him to film things in his...
It was disgusting.
Which is interesting.
Coming from a racist anti-Semite and everything else. But yeah. I don't know. I've always wanted to watch this always reminded me that you heard that Alfred Hitchcock, of course, and I'm sure he did on purpose, because Hitchcock was kind of known to be a little bit of a perv. Mm-hmm. A little eccentric when it came to the women, but he made sure he made a point of calling Anthony Perkins Master Bates.
Yes,
the entire movie. Well, I was in ninth grade, and we were going around the first day of school introducing our things, and this kid named Ivan Bates. That's how he introduced himself, as Master Bates, and it was, of course, that was his nickname for the rest of the. That was hilarious.
I mean, that is correct. That is correct.
Right.
There is a 90% chance that Master Bates might be the name of this episode.
I'm good with that. Janet Leigh, of course, never took another shower.
Yeah.
She took only baths for the rest of her life. So this movie really, it changed an entire generation. It really did. Believe it or not, I don't get it, but I'm trying to think of what's if there's something in my era of horror that totally just changed the way maybe I did things or
the way I would say the next movie that would have done that, it would have been before you. It would have been Jaws, probably, but I don't think rises to this level.
I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of.
Yeah,
change people in a way. I mean, don't stop and go up to farmhouses and check out. Just I don't know. Stay home. Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to think of in my time. I guess maybe Nightmare on Elm Street kind of really freaked people out and creeped people out again. Because as we talked, we did our review. You know, in your dreams is. Mm-hmm. Something you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control a pretty. I can't think of anything. Jaws a good one though, because everybody that became a big thing about swimming and not swimming, and people afraid to get out in the ocean. I don't know, but this just totally. There was so many people that were affected by this movie. I don't get it. I really don't. I think Hitchcock has a lot better movies than this. I don't think this is not his. I know a lot of people think this is his best, but I don't. Notorious and some of those much better.
I think this is commercially his most successful film.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then I guess a couple of things that hit on before we get into the last little bit. Of course, A Boy's Best Friend Is His Mother is number 56 on the American Film Institute list of greatest quotes. There are actually a lot of great quotes in this. Good writing on that. But I thought it was interesting. Maybe you can tell me what your thoughts are. AFI has it as number 14. IMDb has it as number 40.
Somewhere in the middle where it should be.
Yeah. So just to put in perspective for AFI's list, number 13, Star Wars. Number 15, Space Odyssey.
That's interesting. Well, at least Odyssey came after it.
Yeah, yeah. But now I guess we should probably touch on, I have never seen the 1998 Psycho film. How bad is it? Is it, and just your general, I know you've seen it, your thoughts.
I did watch it, yeah.
Yeah.
I watched it just because I really wanted to see if they truly did scene for scene. And I mean, I think there's a few variations, but it's pretty damn close. But it doesn't have the black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it doesn't work. It just didn't throw it. And it doesn't have Anthony Perkins. And it does, just the cast. The cast is, I mean, Ann Hesh and who else is in? I can't think of
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, yeah. Which right there, you know, that's he's not to the caliber of playing this kind of role. Yeah, it's not. Who did it? Was it not Gus Van Sant, was it? It was
Gus Van Sant.
It was Gus. Okay. Yeah, there was just absolutely no reason to remake Psycho. There certainly was no reason to do it shot for shot.
And I will say, I thought it was interesting. I think Anthony Perkins and Janet Leigh both said, obviously they were typecast after this, but they seemed to be fine with it. They were like, we'd like to be remembered for Anthony Perkins. Like, fine with being remembered for that. I have always said, if you can give me the career of someone like a Mark Hamill, if I'm fucking Luke Skywalker, if I don't get anything else after that, that's okay. I'm Luke Skywalker. Like,
that's right.
I'll take it. Like,
now you want to have some fun, watch the second one.
No. And I did not realize there was a third one also.
I started to say watch the second and third one. I don't hate them.
Okay.
They're different.
Right.
Obviously. They're shot way, I mean, what, 20 years after the...
Mm-hmm.
But why is the second one?
Okay. Sometimes, you know. Are you about to make a bold statement, sir?
I am. No, okay. not at this point until you watch it.
Okay. Well, maybe we will watch that at some point for the show.
Sounds like a Christmas movie to me.
Oh, well, that...